this floor.
السلام على عبادي الذين اصطفى ما بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم شهر رمضان الذي انزل فيه القران هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من نفس المسلم كربة من كرب الدنيا وصباح من كربة من كرب يوم القيامه ومن يسر على المعسر يسر الله تعالى عليه في الدنيا والاخره ومن ستر مسلما ستره الله تعالى في الدنيا والاخره والله في عون العبد ما كان العبد في عون اخيه وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد رب اشرح لي صدري يسر أمني واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي وانفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. My dear sacred brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the tawfiq for allowing us to attend this beautiful gathering of Jumu'ah. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They accept it from us, accept it from Muslimin all over the world, ya Rabbal Alameen. You grant them solutions for all the problems, ya Rabbal Alameen. You give them afiyah for every calamity that they're facing, ya Allah. Ya Allah, He grant this ummah, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the weakest part of this ummah. Ya Allah, please, ya Allah, give them afiyah and protection from everything that they suffer from this world, ya Rabbal Alameen. And the Ajjal, ya Allah, resurrect us, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and put us in Jannah Firdaus with Habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear respected brothers and elders in Islam, just first as a quick reminder that that's my fault that I forgot to mention yesterday, the Isha tonight will be at 7:15 inshallah. So please inshallah ta'ala keep that in mind if you're coming for Isha at 7:15 inshallah ta'ala. Jazakallah khairan. And then remember that daylight savings is on the weekend, so you know, just be aware that the slot times will be, was it pushed ahead or back? Ahead? Spring forward. That's a good way to remember it. MashaAllah, so the slot times will be changing over the weekend. SubhanAllah, if we're going to fight for policies, I think this is a policy we need to really change this, you know? It's a very outdated thing. And the only people that suffer is Muslims in general, you know? Because we our prayer times get moved. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. So, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the tawfiq, mashallah, that He allowed us to enter this beautiful month of Rajab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the tawfiq to enter this month of Rajab. The month of Rajab has been known throughout the centuries as being the month which announces the coming of Ramadan. It is like the herald or the bringer of good news, of glad tidings, that in a couple of months Ramadan will be here, inshallah ta'ala. And this is a reminder for everyone here, mashallah, that we've been going up and down throughout the year. And Ramadan, mashallah, is the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revives us. He rejuvenates us. He puts back He puts us back to stability, mashallah. From the month of Ramadan, we have a restart. We have another fresh start to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a beautiful way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Ramadan in the Quran. He says, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. That the month of Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed. It is the month in which the Quran was revealed. The blessed book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we cannot speak about enough, we cannot describe enough, we cannot enumerate the blessings of this book enough. That the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what? That every single letter of this book has been preserved. Every single dot of this book has been preserved, mashallah. That since the time of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the same exact Quran that we have is the final installation of Allah ta'ala's wahi, His revelation to the world. It is the final edition that Allah ta'ala wants to bring for guidance for all of mankind, mashallah. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it in the Quran. Whatever desires and answers you seek, you'll find it in the Quran, mashallah. We have to open the book though. We have to start to explore the book. We have to start to look into the book. And that's what Ramadan is about, connecting ourselves with the Quran. And Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala has mentioned something very important. He explained something about the ayah of the Quran. وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the Day of Judgment, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will come up on Qiyamah and say that, O Allah, my people have taken this Quran as a thing to be abandoned. They've taken this Quran as a thing to be abandoned. Meaning they leave it. They pretended this, they said they had this Quran. They said they wanted this Quran. When the Quran came, they just left it. They just left it. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala described it in three ways. He said that one, لَمْ يَقْرَي الْقُرْآنَ فَقَدْ هَجَرَ. Whoever does not read the Quran has abandoned the Quran. وَمَنْ قَرَأَهُ وَلَمْ يَتَدَبَّرْ مَعَانِيَهُ فَقَدْ هَجَرَ. But if someone reads it but never contemplates on the meanings of the Quran, then they have abandoned the Quran as well. And he said, and then he put it up to the next level. He said, وَمَنْ قَرَأَهُ وَتَدَبَّرَ مَعَانِيَهُ وَلَمْ يَعْمَلْ بِمَا فِيهِ. And a person who reads it and contemplates on the meanings of the Quran but never puts into practice, he's also abandoned the Quran. And in one of these ways, we're abandoning it. In one of these ways, either the Quran is literally catching dust on our shelves because we haven't taken it out the entire year, or the fact that it's called dust because why? We never dusted off the meanings of the Quran. Or the fact that we never put into practice the Quran is still dusty. We have to practice the Quran as well. That's what the month of Ramadan is really about. Many times, subhanAllah, and this discussion we're going to have today, the following Jumu'at that we're going to have, inshaAllah ta'ala, will be about preparation for Ramadan. And many times people want to hear the ibadat, the worships. You know, okay, how do I, what Quran should I read? What zikr should I do? All these things, mashaAllah. I'll tell you, mashaAllah, the greatest thing you can do, the greatest thing is what? كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ The Prophet was described that his character was the Quran. The character was the Quran. The book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not something you just take out for a Quran khani, or the fact that we just read it here and there. The book of Allah was meant to be implemented. We have to start practicing this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the month of Ramadan, that is your goal. That is your goal. Whatever ibadah you're doing, you say, Ya Allah, I want, when you finish your ibadah, Ya Allah, I'm making dua. I want to practice this book. This book that can change civilizations. This book that can change the entire world. It can change one heart, mashallah, very easily. But you have to allow it to do that. We have to be willing to change our actions. So if you have a goal in mind, that's why we're doing this 2 months in advance. What is the goal in mind, inshallah, for this Ramadan? What is the goal that we should have? The simple goal I want everyone, inshallah, just to have. Simple goal, really simple. What is it? Just be nicer. Just be nicer. Just be nicer. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And because he heard the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that everyone has to give sadaqah. Everyone has to give sadaqah. It is a requirement. The Prophet said, the entire body has a sadaqah you have to give. Every single morning you have to give a sadaqah of every joint. Right? And the Prophet said it has about 300 something joints. So you have to give sadaqah about that much. And people are like, man, I don't even have that much money. How can I do that? So the Prophet enumerated different types of sadaqat. Right? He told them that there are different ways you can give sadaqah in this ummah. It's not all about money all the time. So the Prophet starts to describe to Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. He says that the first thing that you can do is what? That you can ya'malu bi-yadayhi. فَيَنْفَعُ نَفْسَهُ وَيَتَصَدَّقُ The first thing is what? That a person, first and foremost, that they get their own job, they work for themselves, they benefit themselves, they don't become a burden on society. If you want to say, mashallah, you're doing a good job for the ummah, it means that you're not a burden on anyone, neither mother, father, no one, you're taking care of yourself. The Prophet ﷺ said that is a very high form of sadaqah. Because Abu Musa al-Ash'ari asked him, the Prophet ﷺ said the best thing you can do is have some work for yourself. And then what? And then give sadaqah on the side. The Prophet ﷺ said that is the absolute best. And then he said, فَإِلَّمْ يَسْتَطِعْ SubhanAllah, he said, if he could not do that, Ya Rasulullah. So the Prophet ﷺ said, يُعِينُ ذَا الْحَاجَةِ الْمَلْهُوفِ He can help the oppressed. He can help the weak. He can help the poor. There's someone in the world that needs assistance. Someone who needs a shoulder to lean on. Someone who needs to cry and there's no one to cry to. They have no one to speak to. You could become that person. The Prophet ﷺ said, that is also sadaqah. And then Abu Musa radiallahu anhu says, how about if he can't do that? يَأْمُرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ Just command people to do good. فَهُوَ صَدَقَةٌ Tell people to do good stuff. To do good deeds, mashallah, that is also sadaqah. Tell people to just encourage them to do things. That is also sadaqah in Islam. It's also a charity. And then the Prophet ﷺ, and then he says, فَإِلَّمْ يَسْتَطِعْ If he can't do that, then the Prophet ﷺ said, يُمْسِكُ عَنِ الشَّبْ فَإِنَّهَا صَدَقَةٌ This is amazing. I wish if we can just have this is the lowest level the Prophet has mentioned. The lowest level. We just need to do this. I guarantee if you and I just do this, the entire ummah will be united. Entire ummah will be, I guarantee, this is hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yumsiku ani shar. Just don't do evil. Just don't be a bad person. The Prophet said, just don't be a bad person. And that is a sadaqah. So what does this mean? Two things. Number one is that from Rajab, we make a commitment that whatever sins I'm doing, I'm going to stop those sins. From Rajab, you need to start. If you think you're going to start in Ramadan, you'll never be able to leave the sin. You don't have enough days in Ramadan. You're still on what? The hamster wheel. When the hamster's on the wheel, right? And it keeps running and running and running and running. And when you take the hamster off, what happens? The wheel keeps going. So what happens is what? When we start in Ramadan to leave our sins, then what happens is the wheel is still spinning. So people find themselves committing the same sins in Ramadan. People have issues with looking at haram images. And they started Ramadan saying, yeah, Mawlana, I'm trying my best, I can't leave them. I said, when did you start leaving the image? He said, I just started from the first day of Ramadan. I'm like, that's exactly why. Because why? Because it continues to spin. This is what happens here. People have issues with cigarettes, or drinking, or whatever it might be. Some haram girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever it might be. You start leaving them at that time, you're not going to be able to leave them. Because shaitan made sure he left another shaitan on the side. He left you behind. So you can misguide yourself. That's really what it is here. May Allah save us and protect us. First thing is what? We leave the sins. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِي النَّاسِ That the corruption on the world has been produced because of what man has done. Whatever is happening on the world is because we are what we are doing. So when people are complaining about different oppressions and zulm and tyranny and violence and things that are happening in the world. Maybe it's because of what we're doing with our hands. So we need to stop it from now, inshallah. In Rajab, inshallah ta'ala, that we make a commitment, ya Allah. Whatever sins I did, I make tawbah, and I'm never going to do it again. They don't like the ulama because why? Because the ulama, they come with good nasiha. The nasiha is what? We're just looking for the good of the ummah. We don't want people to be punished for their sins. We don't want people to find out that on the Day of Judgment they had a really bad record. We want people to have a good record, mashallah. Make tawbah from now, ya Allah. We ask forgiveness for all our sins, ya Rabbil Alameen. So we're right, first and foremost, we stop doing sins for ourselves. Second thing is what? We stop harming other people. We stop harming other people. We stop annoying other people. We stop bothering other people. SubhanAllah, these masajid doors are open for everyone. These masajid doors are open for everyone. And I mentioned this many times, that the masajid door are open, but the ones that shut the door of the masajid are the believers and the believing men and women inside. The believing men and women inside. It just takes one or two bad words. Just one or two insults. One or two ways that we act. And it's just what? Can I call it a dissy problem? Maybe it's like a dissy problem, right? Might be a dissy problem. What? That we find someone who speaks English, and then we start speaking in our language. And so that person gets so offended. And we offended their heart, right? We start speaking in our own language and that person gets offended. Or what do? We have our own circles, we never invite that person. Or that person's a new Muslim, we never get salam to them. If they're outside of my country, if they're outside of my village, I don't even talk to them. I never associate with them. I never talk to them, speak to them. I never get salam to them. So what happens to the person? And this is what happens in Ramadan. This is what happens in Ramadan. You don't have the regular Muslims here, mashallah, we have here, mashallah. You have everyone. Everyone. Because why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Ramadan, Hudan linnas. Ramadan is guidance, ultimate guidance for mankind. People will come, Muslim, non-Muslim will come in Ramadan. They will find guidance of God. Allah ta'ala will guide them. What happens is what? We start to be the roadblocks on that guide. We start to be the roadblocks on that path. That we start to tell people, you're not allowed in here. So then what do? We, by our actions, by our adab, by our character, by our mannerisms, by one single bad word, that person will never come back to the masjid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now I ask everyone here, if people are like, what's the big deal? What's the harm in it? You know, if a person leaves, whatever. Listen, you are first and foremost, that's your responsibility. As Ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a person who is the representative of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a person who is the Rasul of the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, you are his messenger in America, you are his messenger in this masjid, you are his messenger if you're working here, if you're not working here, whatever you're doing, you are the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's messenger. By you telling someone, we don't like you here, you should get out. You shun someone that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make dua for at night time. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make so much dua for this ummah. That same person that comes into the door, they came into the masjid, and what do? By our words, by our actions, we offended them, we kicked them out. Who will be responsible on the Day of Judgment for that? La ilaha illallah. It's our fault first and foremost. The second thing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he said, look, he said the ummah, the way the ummah is what? It's like a top deck and a bottom deck of a boat. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described a boat. And he said that there are certain people who are the practicing Muslims are on the top, and they're just on the top deck doing whatever they need to do. And the people who are not practicing, or not really coming into Islam so much, is like on the lower part of the deck, right? It's hadith of Muttafaq Alayh. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that what happens is what? So the people who are on the lower part of the deck, right, the lower part of the boat, they go up to the top people and they get water from them, right? Because the water is up there, they need access from the water from the top. So what happens is what? The people on the bottom are like, man, this is just too hard. This is just too hard. You know what? Let's forget it. Let's stop asking the people. We're bothering them. Let's just drill a hole. Let's just drill a hole. If you just drill a hole, we can get all the water we need, right? Just drill the hole. And so then what happens is what? The Prophet ﷺ says, if the people on the top don't stop the people on the bottom, what's going to happen is ultimately everyone's going to drown. So the Prophet ﷺ said what? You don't have an option here. People are like, oh, just let them go. Abandon them, whatever. They don't want to come, that's their fault. Then it's not their fault, that's my fault. Because why? Because I will drown because of that. I will drown because of that. We're not taking responsibility. We're not taking responsibility. People today don't know how to talk to each other. What we find is what? When a brother talks to a sister, he talks so rude. When a sister talks to a brother, she talks in ways that, like, you know, it's just so offensive. When a brother talks to another brother, it's so offensive. When a sister talks to another sister, ya Allah, these are all like the children of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are all the children of Adam alayhi salam. Whether he's from my country or not, that makes no difference, right? And ajeeb part is what? That we will sit with people, you know, ajeeb, and you know, this is part of another discussion, inshallah, we'll have another day. But the deen and nasiha, right? That you should actually care for these people. Nasiha, when you say nasihat karo, right? Give him nasiha. Nasihat karo, right? Give him some nasiha. Nasiha doesn't just mean give him some words. Nasiha means it comes from the heart. It comes from the heart. You actually want good for the person. Unfortunately, today the words come out. We're giving lip service, but there's no service from the heart. We're just saying good words in front of people, but nothing is coming out of the heart. We don't even care about the person if they come to Hidayah or not. We don't have any consideration. any love, any adoration. We haven't seen this person in an entire year. And the first thing we tell the brother or sister is, wow, where have you been? Where have you been? How offensive are those words? How offensive are those words? No one wants to hear that. No one came here to be judged. No one came here to be looked at. We just give salam and say, alhamdulillah, brother. I missed you so much. That's it, mashallah. You know, give him a hug. Don't care about the corona, just give him good salam, mashallah. Then wash your hands afterwards, who cares, right? Just mashallah, take care of the brother, take care of the sister. We say such things in front of people. Why are we mentioning this before again in Rajab? Because why? Because what happens is this. The Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this example in the Quran. It describes an example about a woman. وَلَا تَكُونُ كَالَّذِي نَقَضَتْ غَسْلَهَا مِنْ بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ Don't become like the woman who starts to sew something. She makes this beautiful embroidery. She makes this beautiful dress. And then what does she do? At the end of the day, everyone's like, mashallah, what a great dress she made. And at the end, she just unsews everything. She just unweaves everything. Just completely just puts it back down to its strings. And then what does she do the next day? She sews it up and gets rid of it again. Sews it up, gets rid of it again. Allah says, don't be like that woman. What does this mean? It means that the entire day you were fasting. We were doing so much in Ramadan. We were reading Quran, doing ibadah, everything. Then at nighttime, we start doing ghibah of everyone. Backbiting of everyone. The Taraweeh, the Mulana did not read like Sudais today. The Hafizah made like 15 mistakes. Ya Allah, if you want to lead the Salah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Go ahead, mashallah. You have all my ijazah, mashallah ta'ala. I'm not saying it specifically here, mashallah. We have very nice people here, alhamdulillah. Just masajid wherever you go to. There's a Hafiz who's working like, you know, he's working probably in the daytime. At school maybe, mashallah. Like, because it's school time now, right? He's preparing his Quran as much as he can. Please don't get on his case. And don't give him your Ramadan. Don't give him your Ramadan. He already has his own, mashallah. By you talking bad about him, mashallah, he has another Ramadan in his slate, mashallah. Then what do? We see some brothers who've never been here. Guy has a tattoo here. Guy barely has a beard. Sister never wears hijab. She's barely wearing hijab. What is she doing, right? She's coming to the masjid, you know? Wow, mashallah. Alhamdulillah, Allah allowed her into the building. That's not your responsibility. Why are we talking about them, making ghibah about them? And then what happens is what? We have such audacity that sometimes we don't even backbite people, we just frontbite them. We just scream at them, we slander them, we shout at them. Then what happens in the Qiyamah? The Ramadan, the fasting you and I did, we'll just go to them. Allah that will be very just on the Day of Judgment. We don't want to be like the woman who sows something and destroys it at nighttime. Don't be like that. And please, mashallah, this is just in the masjid. This is just in the masjid. At home it's much more critical than that. Much more critical. Because why? At home is when you're actually with people that see you for who you are. The people who see you who you and I are. And so what do we find? That the parents are yelling at the children. The children are yelling at the parents. Husband is yelling at wife. Wife is yelling at husband. Everyone is fighting at home. There's oppression and zulm at home. Listen, man, subhanAllah, on the Day of Judgment, Allah will settle everything. And we find this to be the case for many of the husbands. They yell and they scream, they shout, they fight, they get upset. The salt isn't right. Nothing is right. The tandoori, you know, you didn't make tandoori today. You didn't make biryani today. What is this? What is this? This nahari was terrible. Everything was wrong. Everything was wrong. All right, let it all be wrong. Let it all be wrong. Who gave you a risk for that day? Who gave you a risk for that day? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided it 50,000 years ago. So why are you complaining? Why are you getting on her case? When on the Day of Judgment, and this is what happens. Husbands think, I can be Fir'aun at home, I can yell at my wife, I can shout at her, I cannot talk to her the entire day, I'll just be on WhatsApp. My first wife was making the food in the kitchen, my second wife is the WhatsApp, I'm texting at home, so I sit in the corner of my house and I just text all the time and I just come to bed at nighttime. That's all I do, right? That's literally the case with many of us, unfortunately speaking. And I'm not saying I'm a saint here, trust me. We all got work here, we all got work to do. Why am I saying this? Because Allah Ta'ala says about the ayah in Surah Nisa, ayah number 34, Allah that speaks about the rights of the husband, rights of the wife, all that stuff. Very nice ayah. And talks about things about divorce and things like that. And at the end, Allah that says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيًّا كَبِيرًا. Allahu Akbar. فَلَا تَبْغُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ سَبِيلًا. Allah that says to the husbands, if they are listening to you, they're good wives, then don't even try. Don't even dare take a single step in front of them. لَا تَبْغُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ سَبِيلًا. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيًّا كَبِيرًا. You think you're big. Allah that says He's Ali and He's Kabir. You think you're big. We think we're big. On the Day of Judgment, Allah will show, this is how I am. See, you disrespected my slave. She's my slave, my servant. Then we disrespect our wives at home, and then we expect our Ramadan to go fruitful, mashallah. La ilaha illallah, we're cursing her, she's cursing back. And then what happens is what? Then like, you know, ajib, and you know, and I always encourage this, that look, if you need counseling, go for counseling. The Prophet ﷺ got counseling. If you want to hear tonight, inshallah, come tonight. We'll talk about Aisha radiallahu anha. You're going to hear beautiful stories, mashallah. Even the Prophet ﷺ got counseling. People are like, no, it's an ayib. You know, it's a personal matter. It's my personal thing. I don't want it personal. Look, man, if it leads to divorce, it's no longer personal. It's no longer personal. Because why? Because now children are involved. Because now why? A family broke up in the community. You are a part of this community. People don't even have family. I don't have family here. I don't have any family here. This is my family here. Everyone here is my family. Right? Everyone here, mashallah, we take care of each other. Right? If this is innamal mu'minuna ikhwa, Allah Ta'ala says you're all brothers. It's not a personal matter when things are leading to divorce. Allah Ta'ala tells in the Quran, get people to help you out. You need to solve the problem. So what happens is what? Sometimes sisters do the opposite. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi said, stop doing evil. Sometimes we encourage the evil. Sometimes sisters will tell other sisters, yeah, just divorce that guy. Get rid of him. Get rid of him. لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ خَبَّبُ مْرَأَةً عَلَىٰ زَوْجِهَا The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, they are not from my ummah. The one that instigates a wife against her husband. They are not from my ummah, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hadith Abu Dawood, that a person who tries to tell someone, yeah, get divorced, get rid of her, or she, you know, get rid of him, he or she is not from my ummah, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. In the Quran you find that the greatest of all magic is what? مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ That the greatest of all magic is what? That you separate between husband and wife. Husband and wife. Because why? Because you notice it. And you can ask all these non-Muslims. Look at this entire country. That look, the family structure, the family unit is how you save Muslims. It's how you save Muslims. The fact that you have your wife, mashallah, is the best way your children be raised. They all, you know, and everyone tries to sugarcoat it. You ask how many of these single mothers are having a good time. Honestly speaking, how many of them are having a good time? Working so many jobs and having so many kids. And then what happens is what? None of the kids are really Muslim. I still haven't found today a good, credible family, mashallah, that all the kids are pious. Maybe one or two, mashallah, by Allah's tawfiq, but you'll see the generality of the children that come out, it's just very difficult for them. I'm not saying that, mashallah, it happens. I'm not saying that divorce isn't the option sometimes. Sometimes it might be. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is what? If it's not if you haven't taken the right procedures, maybe there's a way to work it out. Maybe there's a way to work it out and we never went through it. We should not be the people encouraging it. We should not be the people encouraging it. The mother, the wife and the husband are a family unit. They are a team. My teacher Maulana Ibrahim Sabdan Barakatum told me, he said, about his own wife, he said, she is my Rafiqi Safar. Allahu Akbar, such beautiful words in Urdu, right? He said, she is my companion on the road. She's my companion on this travel. That we're working as a team to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're working as a team. What do you and I think about a wife at home? We think about her as what? That she's just someone who cooks the food, someone who takes care of the kids. That's it, right? She has a job. She's a worker at home and a worker outside. That's not the way a wife and a husband act in Islam. They are a team. You have signed a contract under who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That I will take care of her and she will take care of me. That we will provide for each other. We'll hold each other accountable. We'll work on each other. We'll hold our responsibilities. People are always arguing about rights. Just think about your responsibility. What is my responsibility to my wife? What is her responsibility to me? She deserves a house in where I cannot be emotional. I don't go and scream at her. I don't go and shout at her. Because at the day of judgment, she's going to take everything. She's going to take all my ajr. What am I supposed to do on that day? If Allah Ta'ala just says, you know what? This is going to be separated here. You know, Allah Ta'ala protect us and save us from that. They're a team. They work together. And so, subhanAllah, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said it so beautifully. When one woman came, say, Ya Rasulullah, we do everything. Our husbands go to the salah. They go to the jama'ah. They go out and fight in the path of Allah. They do all this hajj. They do all this umrah. They do everything. And what do? We're at home. We're just taking care of the children. Then she asked the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in front of all the sahaba. She said, Ya Rasulullah, do we get the same role as the men? And the Prophet said to all the Sahaba, he said, did you ever hear a better question from any woman ever? They said, Ya Rasulullah, we never heard a better question. Then the Prophet said, go and tell all the women that sent you, because he knows that the woman sent her. So go and tell all the women that whatever the husband does outside, she's getting all the reward inside. And similarly, it's a flip. When the husband goes and works everything, mashallah, he comes home and takes care of the wife. The wife, whatever she does, he's going to get the ajr. That's why they're a team. They work together. We have to make sure to uphold that, mashallah. Now, what is the benefit for you all? To be nice, to hold our tongues, to not speak bad, to be a good person. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said so beautifully, "Man nafasa an mu'minin kurbatan min kurbi dunya." Whoever relieves a Muslim from a difficulty. The relieving of a Muslim means what? You might speak a good word to them, might be just nice to them, might be a shoulder to lean on for them to cry on. You're just a good person to them. Allah Ta'ala nafas Allah anhu kurbat min kurbi al-yawm al-qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala will take away one difficulty in the day of judgment. And then the Prophet says, whoever makes it easy on a person who has difficulty, Allah Ta'ala will make it easy for him on the day of judgment. Fi dunya wal akhirah, I'm sorry, in this world and the hereafter. وَمَنْ سَتَرَ مُسْلِمًا Whoever conceals a Muslim's faults. And in Ramadan, there are many faults you're going to see. Just conceal all of them. Whoever conceals a fault, Allah will conceal his faults on the day of judgment. And fi dunya wal akhirah, I'm sorry again. In the world and the hereafter. And the Prophet said, وَاللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِيهِ Amazing. The Prophet said that a person who is in the assistance of his friend, of his brother, Allah will be in their help. If you're helping your brother or sister, Allah is helping you. Don't worry about it. Why? How are you helping them? Just allowing them to come into the room. Allowing them to come into the building. Allowing that when you get home, mashallah, you're taking care of the wife, just making her happy, mashallah. These are all things, mashallah, ta'ala. We just need to be a little bit more controlled. We have to just control our tongues a bit more. The Prophet said in another hadith, the majority of the sins of Adam are on the tongue. When we go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that in this Ramadan, inshallah, we're able to become better people. just better people, mashallah. We make dua to Allah Ta'ala that we are people that open the doors of khayr. We open the doors of the masjid to everyone. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that our character gets fixed, mashallah. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if you're having a problem with ghibah, just carry a tasbih around and just start saying subhanallah, 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 alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. If your tongue is on dhikr, trust me, you're reminding yourself of Allah Ta'ala all the time. Inshallah, that will be easy. Let's try tonight, inshallah. We'll go home, inshallah. And then when we go to meet our wives tonight, mashallah, we'll just be smiling at them. Be nice people, mashallah. When you go home as a parent, go to your children and just smile at them. If you're a child, you go to your dad and smile at them. One day, mashallah, just one day, Jamaat, mashallah, just one day. And then what do we do? After that, we do 3 days. And after that, we go to 7. And then go to 40. And watch, mashallah, if you get up to 40 days, you've not screamed or yelled, you made it a habit. Your entire life, inshallah, will be something where you'll find yourself to be a good person, inshallah. We ask Allah for so much tawfiq, inshallah. For those of you who can do so, inshallah.